Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 10. Exodus 2:10, and we're going to talk about Moses' faith, particularly his faith early on. And I'm going to show you the cross reference in Hebrews 11, where it looks like Paul describes this, the act of faith here. Even though the word doesn't necessarily show up in Exodus 2, the word faith, this is what's going on. So Exodus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. This is Moses. He's been hidden in the bulrushes, and now he's been brought into the palace. In verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. When he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their flocks, father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to rule their father, he said, how is it that you are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread. Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter. She bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." All right, let's pray. And we're going to talk about Moses, his early faith here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for the blessings of your words and your instruction, your help. I pray that we could learn what we need to learn from this. And I pray that you would guide us. You'd help me say what needs to be said, and just help us understand our Bibles the way we need to. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so this is the account in Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 11 and give you the another side of this, or a New Testament description. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, Hebrews 11:24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the Lord. All right. That's the record of Moses' early faith. And apparently, this happens Moses is, he's going to be commissioned when he's 40, so that some of these things happen before he's 40 years old. Apparently, he's got a tender heart towards the people of God, the Hebrew people, and he is being raised in the palace, but he doesn't identify with palace life or Egyptian life per se. He belongs with the people of God. And so in Hebrews, that's called, this is his faith. This is what his faith looks like. And there's four things that are laid out really in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26 that we just read. And they're found here, back here in Exodus chapter 2. And that's what I want to deal with. Moses' early faith, his early faith. And he's got quite a, you'll notice this with everybody that has faith, that their life, their perspective on life really is filtered through what does God think about what's going on, or what's God's will, what are God's desires and things like that. And so these people that have faith, they have this perspective that's outside of their own selfish ambitions and goals and things like that. And most of the time it ends up costing them something. And so I want to show you these four things real quick about Moses' early faith. The first thing you notice in Exodus chapter 2, and I want to highlight this, that the word faith is never used in Exodus chapter 2 or I think even 3 or really anywhere near those places. But when you look back from Hebrews' perspective, Hebrews 11, this is faith. This is what faith is described as. And in Moses' life, the first thing is it's described as a refusal to be identified with Pharaoh's family. He is raised in the palace. He enjoys palace life. He could continue that life. He could just keep doing what he's doing and really not have any trouble, at least in this life. He wouldn't have any need or anything like that. He would just be raised in the palace, probably have everything he wants, everything he could get his hands on, and that could be his life. However, at the end of that life, there would be a judgment by God on his life. And Moses doesn't think this way. He doesn't think, you know, I'm just going to get all I want in this life. He thinks in reference to what does the God of Israel think about what's going on, and what is the God of Israel, what's his will, what's his what are his goals? What does he want to accomplish with our people? And so Moses refuses to be identified with Pharaoh's family. He didn't really have an ambition to participate in Egypt's culture. His ambition was to participate with the people of God, with the Hebrew people. He knew the Lord had another place for the Hebrews to go, and it was going to be time to go in a few years. It would be time to go. But this is part of his faith. He separates himself from Egypt and identifies with the people of God. And so his heart is out of Egypt long before, and this is something to note, Moses' heart has gone out of Egypt long before he physically leaves Egypt. He's not interested in the things that Egypt offers. He's interested in the things that God offers. And so when he sees what's going on in Exodus chapter 2, and he sees what's going on with the Egyptians and how they treat the Hebrew people, his zeal and his desire to deal with things, I guess that he thought this is the right way to handle this, or he's just so mad about the situation, or one or the other, or both. He kills the Egyptian who's assaulting the Hebrew man. He kills the Egyptian and then buries the Egyptian, and hoping that nobody would see. And it's kind of interesting. It says when he looks this way and that way, you know, he looks over here and looks over here, and then he buries this Egyptian in the sand. And then he thinks, okay, nobody's seen me. And then the next day he sees two Hebrew people fighting each other. And he gets in the middle of that. They argue with him about who are you to judge us? I mean, who are you to criticize our my beef with this guy? Or who are you? Who made you the law among us? And then he realizes, of course, that they saw him. They saw what happened with this Egyptian and this murder. And then Pharaoh finds out, and then Pharaoh goes after him, wants to deal with him. But all of that said, it started with this desire to make right what was going on with God's people and to vindicate and to justify and to redeem and to help God's people. And it, of course, early on, it turns into it doesn't work out the way he thinks it's going to work out. But this is where his early faith, this is where the faith starts to work in his life. And it starts with this little seed of refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And why would he do that? This is, brings up the second point that Paul makes in Hebrews. He refuses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because the Bible says he's choosing rather to suffer affliction. So he sees that God's people are under bondage of the Egyptians. And he sees that is a preferable position. That's a better position than to be an Egyptian and against God. It's better to be on God's side of things and suffer in the world than it is to be against God and enjoy the pleasures of sin. And so he sees that, and so he chooses rather to suffer affliction, the Bible says. Why would anyone choose affliction? Well, because you believe there's a greater reward than pleasure offers. You just believe there's a better reward than simple pleasure offers. And so you, in another case, you might choose affliction, and it may not have a spiritual context. It may just be you choose self-discipline or something because you're looking for a reward that's greater than just the immediate pleasure of something. Well, in this case, Moses is looking for a reward from the Lord. And so he chooses to suffer affliction with the people of God. And so it's nice to see, when you read Hebrews, it's nice to see that God is honest about sin. He says, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, meaning there is pleasure in sin, it's just not lasting. It doesn't fulfill what it promises. It doesn't give you what it promises. It's temporary, and it often comes with more baggage than you're willing to accept by the end of it. And it costs more, it takes up more energy, it eats up more of your life. And so there's all of these hidden costs. Although there is pleasure at the front of it, it's just there's all these hidden, you know, costs to it, unfortunately. So, and the Lord's honest about it. He said he chose rather to suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So faith, number one, in Moses' life, it started as a refusal to be identified with Pharaoh's family and rather to identify with the people of God. And he chose that because he found the affliction that the people of God were. Point is, he found that it was better to be afflicted and on God's side than to enjoy pleasures and against God. Third thing is, in Hebrews, as those verses continue, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ. So he put value on the reproach of Christ. Although he doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, he doesn't know that who that will be, And that's not what he's saying. And it's not that Moses knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was here, but he did understand the Spirit of God in relation to man, and he certainly understood the stigma that accompanies the Spirit of God in a man. He understood that. He understood there was a stigmatization. Bible calls it a reproach. And so there's this reproach that goes with the Spirit of God in a man and living in a world that is against God. So Moses understood that part of it. So he esteems that reproach of Christ. He esteems that. He puts value on it. He says, this thing here is valuable. It's valuable. On the one hand, you have, this is the comparison. So on the one hand, you have the reproach of Christ. And on the other hand, you have the treasures of Egypt. You have the reproach of Christ versus the treasures of Egypt. If you abide by the world's philosophy, then the reproach of Christ does not make any sense to follow. It makes no sense why someone would choose the reproach of Christ over the pleasures of the world, or why someone would put value on the reproach of Christ versus things that can be got in this world and all that. And so that's part of the stigmatization, but that's the reason the world cannot understand. It cannot fathom why this person is just crazy. They've just lost their mind. And so the world regularly trades edification from the words of God in a church for a dollar. Why? Because there's no value in edification from the words of God. There's no value in it. I would gladly have a job and make money on my job than sit in a Bible study. I would just rather make money, and I don't see any value in being in a church service. And that's the world's perspective. The world would gladly trade fellowship in the Word of God with believers on Sunday for sports. Gladly. Because they just don't see any value. There's just no value in the things of God. And so it's a no-brainer to go fishing when I can go fishing on Sunday morning. I mean, there's no comparison. The world easily gives up Bible teaching for, like I said, hunting or fishing. And the point is, there's no comparison. If you have the world's philosophy, there's just no comparison, and there's no reason to put yourself through a Bible study, fellowship with believers, preaching, any of those things, and there's no reason to give up your hunting, your fishing, your sports, or any of those things on one day of the week, or whatever the case may be, because there's just no value in it. They don't see the value in it. But if you're a Christian that loves the words of God, you love the things of God, well then suddenly the things of the world don't have any much value. And then this thing looks as crazy to you as you look to the world. Why are these people sitting in church during the Super Bowl or whatever the case is? Why are these people sitting in church when they could be at a soccer game? Or why are these people sitting in church when they could be fishing? Or why are they sitting in church when they could be at the Halloween party or whatever? Well, because it's what you value. If you value the things of God, then the things of the world aren't that valuable to you. They just don't have that much value. But if you value the things of the world, then the things of God don't really hold that much sway in your life. So Moses, part of his faith, and remember, this is part of faith, he esteems the reproach of Christ, and he esteems that reproach of greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And he says, this affliction and this reproach has more value than all of the treasures in Egypt that I could obtain. What, and why would you say something like that? Last part, because he respects God's reward. The Bible would say he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He gave up his opportunity to be royalty in Egypt. He gave up on the wealth and the inheritance in Egypt. You're told early on in Hebrews 11 that faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, things like that. And he says, it's impossible to please God without faith. The second part of that is, not only it's impossible without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this is the whole principle that Moses is operating on. He believes the rewards that God provides are greater than the rewards that Egypt will provide. And so he identifies with the people of God. He suffers with the people of God. He says the affliction that's associated with Christ and the reproach that's associated with Christ is of greater value than anything I could find in Egypt. And he's going to find out that that's right, because within his lifetime, he will watch Egypt be destroyed. I mean, it's basically from a world superpower taken down to something that really they never recover from. So it's faith that respected God's reward. That's the give and take. You seek worldly wealth at the expense of godliness. And that happens, that simply happens because you don't believe God has a good enough reward. You just don't believe that God's rewards are good enough, and I'm not willing to wait for them. Maybe you don't like what God's offering or something, and so you choose, maybe it's money over the things of God, maybe it's friendships over the things of God, whatever it is, but you put value on this thing, and so you choose it. Unlike Moses, the Bible says, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Those four things, and you go back to Exodus 2, this is Moses' early faith. And he tries to do something that would help his people, help God's people, I should say. He wants to rescue them from the world. He wants to rescue them from what's going on. And this is not the way that it's going to happen. It's not going to happen by him killing Egyptian people. It's going to happen when God powerfully redeems his people out of Egypt. And you know that story. But in the process of all this, he's run out of Egypt. He becomes a fugitive. He is run out of Egypt, or chased, or hunted. He finds a man who will be his father-in-law, and even his care of these flocks is indicative of Moses' nature. He seems to just be someone who, in a general sense, he wants to help people who need help, and so he helps his father-in-law, who will be his father-in-law. He helps his daughters with their flocks, and they think it's an Egyptian man, but it's not an Egyptian man. It's Moses, and Moses eventually marries one of these daughters and has a child, and as time progresses, there's another Pharaoh that pops up. And when this next Pharaoh pops up, the Lord remembers the cries of the children of Israel. And what you'll find out is here's a kind of a process that runs through the Bible. You have a promise that God makes. Then you have some man or woman that acts on that promise. And then based on their response to that promise, then God uses them because they've proven themselves faithful. He uses them and then commissions them in a larger work that really is God's work. So there's a promise that's at work. Moses responds to that promise in the way he knows how to do it. And this is his early faith. But in the next chapter, when the Lord is ready to redeem Israel from Egypt, the man he's going to find is the man he's already highlighted as someone who illustrates or exemplifies faith. They have faith. It's Moses. So that's the next chapter is going to be his commissioning. And so the Lord really runs through his life really quick to get to the point where he gets commissioned and then does the work with Pharaoh and getting the children of Israel out of Egypt. But it starts with his early faith. Moses is not just some guy that is picked out of the air because God just decided to throw a burning bush in front of his face. No, Moses is someone who demonstrates faithfulness to the promise of God. And the Lord says, okay, now when I'm ready to do something, you'll be the guy I call. And so he does. And Moses is the guy. And that's what's going to happen, time going forward. So these are all things about Moses' early faith. Refused to be identified with Pharaoh's family. He chose Christ's affliction. He valued Christ's reproach. And he respected God's reward. And that's all a part of his faith. And in fact, you read through Hebrews 11, and I think there's two or three times where it talks about Moses' faith. So he doesn't just have it in this one instance. There's more places he's going to exemplify it. So there you go. There's some stuff about Moses' early faith. So I hope that's helpful. And let's pray, and then we will be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. I pray it's been helpful. Pray we would learn our Bibles, understand what we're reading, understand why you put these events in your words the way you did, and because there's significance to that too. And so I pray that we would better understand your character, your desires, your goals, your will, by understanding your words. Thank you again for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.